Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A couple things as we are looking today. I want to remind, if you weren't here last week, I do want to encourage you maybe to go online and kind of catch up with last week's message. It'll make this week's message even kind of click a little bit more. Because last week we looked at a parable that Jesus told prior to the triumphal entry and how important that was about his purpose and the fulfillment of his ministry. So I encourage you to go online and catch that up. But today is Palm Sunday. Today is the day that we remember and we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, beginning what we call Holy Week, which was culminated on Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead 3 days later. And what's interesting to me are several things that happened right here around the triumphal entry that I believe tell us about the character of God. And I want you to know that theology is important. Some people think that theology is not important. Theology is very important. And when we say theology, it's understanding the character and the aspects of God. And if we don't have the correct picture of God, life gets very, very out of balance. If you have a wrong image of God, I don't care how much you strive to do, you will struggle to find balance in your life. And so there are some things that we're going to understand looking in this story of Jesus' triumphal entry, which are going to point today to three aspects of his character that I believe are going to help us as we journey through Holy Week. So let's look in the Bible at Matthew chapter 21. We're going to focus on for our first point here at the first three verses. So now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them. Now I want you to cue you in here what Jesus is telling them. He says, go into the village in front of you and immediately you will find what? A donkey you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. Okay, so I got a question for you, because it's important that we see an aspect of God's character here, an aspect of Jesus revealing himself and the character of God. So the first question I have for you is, where was Jesus when he made this statement? And it's right there in our text. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethany. Okay? So, is Jesus in the village? Good, good. Jesus is not in the village at this time. And yet, he has some detailed knowledge of something. Now, it's not that Jesus snuck out the night before and kind of did a recon mission and then crawled back in. It's not that Jesus, you know, checked his info feed on his Instagram and tried to see what's going on down there. And then, you know, his Google Maps sent him to a place that he could find a donkey. Okay, that's not what happened. But what did happen, here's Jesus before entering a village saying, if you're going to go into this village, he has some very specific knowledge. I mean, down to a conversation that hasn't even been had yet and what the response will be to something that they haven't even said yet. Hello? I mean, this is staggering if we don't understand it. He understands that there's livestock there. And it's going, okay, in Mark chapter 2 verse 8 and in Luke chapter 6 verse 8, Jesus has conversations with people who haven't even said anything. They're thinking it in their mind and Jesus responds to their thoughts. How many of you value your privacy? Anybody value your privacy? My privacy is an important thing. I mean, that's the big thing today. I don't like it when I have people that kind of invade my privacy. And yet Jesus knew some pretty amazing things. He knows what's going on in the thoughts of people. He can respond to them. He knew that Judas would betray him before Judas did this. He knew that Simon Peter was going to deny him three times. And then immediately there's going to be that. I want to understand, gang, this is saying something. This is saying something about the character of God. And it's not that he's like really into livestock. Okay? It's not that it's that he has some understanding. It's a theological term we call omniscience. That what we're finding today is that Jesus is omniscient. Okay? He is all knowing. Okay? Omniscience means that you know everything. And so go ahead and click that, bud. Omniscience means that you know everything. And so this is an important concept that we need to grasp, is that God knows everything about us. Matthew 10:30 says that he even has the number of the hairs of your head, which for me is not a big deal, but for some of you it is. And by the way, every time you take a shower and a few more go away, he knows that too. He can tell you the exact state of what's going on. Psalm 139:13 says that God formed you in your mother's womb. In verse 16, he says something else. He says that he knows every single day of your life. They're written in his book before one of them came to be. In other words, he knows. I know when we think about this, it's confounding to us, because then we get into free will and we think, well, how does this intersect with free will? The bottom line is we can rest in the fact that God is all knowing. He has seen the end even before the beginning came to be. He knows and he gets it. Now, are you really comfortable with this? Do you know that God knows yourself? He knows you better than you know yourself. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your good thoughts. He knows your ugly thoughts. He sees your motives, the good and the bad. Now I have a question for you. How comfortable are you with knowing that somebody knows everything about you? I tell you what, there are some times that I have had conversations with individuals and maybe I didn't intend for someone to hear that conversation, and then it makes you feel uncomfortable. I remember at a time I shared in first service a really embarrassing story. As I was a little kid, I got sent to church camp because I was annoying. It wasn't because church camp was great. My parents wanted a break from me, I think. And I remember going to church camp and I was playing volleyball and I was like little bitty short thing. And I remember jumping up and someone thought it'd be cute to pull my shorts down. And I was extremely uncomfortable around everybody else. Because I thought, you know what? Oh my heavens, they've seen me in my underwear. Oh my heavens, I'm so embarrassed. How are you? How is your comfort level? What is your comfort level with someone who knows everything about, not just the polished exterior that so many church folk work so hard to cultivate? He knows the real you. He knows the real you. Ever pocket dialed somebody? And they're like, hey, I understand that you were here. Da, da, da. What? Your phone kind of, it's dangerous, gang. Why is this important? And here's my first point. God knows everything about you and he still loves you. That to me is pretty cool. Is that God knows everything. He knows that you would, those of you who would accept Jesus as Savior and Lord and still mess up. Anybody just do something really boneheaded, sinful after you were saved? And yet God still loves us? Yes. Because his love for us transcends our understanding. And so that's my first point about God's character that we see revealed here in the triumphal entry. Think about this. Jesus knew that the same people who were waving palm branches and calling out, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, were the same people in a few days who are going to be calling, crucify him, crucify him. The same people who are welcoming and calling him a king were the same people who were cheering as a crown of thorns was thrust into his forehead. They're the same people who are calling out, give us Barabbas, so that Jesus would die. He understood these things, and yet he still came. I got to be honest. There are some times, I have to be honest, that I have held back maybe a good deed or held back a service to somebody because I knew that they weren't going to like it, or I knew that it wasn't going to be appreciated. I knew it wasn't going to be valued. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm just being very honest. There's times, oh, they're not going to. Why would they care? Why would they do something? And I, as a very temporal person, as a very carnal person, as a fallible person, kind of judge what I will do for somebody based on their response. Thank the Lord that he's not like me. That didn't come out quite right, but yeah. And thank God that he didn't hold back his compassion and his goodness because of our unworthiness of his sacrifice. He knows that you're going to fall. He knows that, like Peter, some of us just, we stumble and we fall, and even times in our life. Now, that's not an excuse. You see, some people hear this and they're like, oh yeah, well that means since God knows and he still loves me, it doesn't matter how I live. No. It does. It just should cause us to want to pursue him all the more. God knows and he still loves. Next point. Let's go on to the next couple of verses, verse 4 and 5. So Jesus has come in and he's had this big triumphal entry, and we see that all these things were happening, and he was coming in riding on this colt, and it says this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So the prophet Zechariah foretold of the Messiah's coming, and that he was righteous and he was having salvation, and that he would make his entry on a specific steed here, you know, a donkey on a foal here. So J. Barton Payne found that there were up to 574 unique prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, and that Jesus was described and fulfilled so many of these prophecies. Here's what this is saying, gang, that God is not doing something in secret. There's over a quarter of the Bible that has to do with prophecy. Why is this? Okay? Because God is a God who wants us to know why and what the promises are that he has made. What does this say about the character of God? The second point that I have for us today is this. Because God has kept his promises in the past, you can trust him with your future. Because God has kept his promises in the past, you can trust him with your future. In other words, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And that's why it's so amazing. That's why the writer stops and Matthew specifically says, I want to draw your attention back to a promise that was made hundreds of years ago. And this is why he's doing it. Because you can trust him. He is faithful. He's going to do. He declares to his children that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Because he's declared that, gang, we can put our faith and our trust in him. Let's go on to the next one. Matthew chapter 21, verse 6 through 11. We're going to come to the next one here. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So a couple things here that are important for us that are going to reveal something about the character of God. And I find all of these very drawing. The fact that God understands me, he knows everything about me, and he still loves me. I want to know him more. I want to serve him. The fact that he has always kept his promises makes me want to put my trust and believe him. And now there's something this. Now, first of all, they called out Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, this word Hosanna, If I want to take a venture, what the word Hosanna means, if you're with youth group, okay, you're my man. You're my man. Let's hear it, Mr. Poor. Yes, that's my man. Thursday, he remembered it. Save us. A lot of people will be like, Hosanna means praise God. No. Hosanna means save now or rescue us now. So they're calling out, Hosanna, save us, son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We sang our first song today. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. You're worthy of all our praises. That's why we sing that, because he, with him is salvation. And so as they're calling out, you from the kingly line of David, who has fulfilled prophecy, come save us. Here's the problem. This is why I refer to last week's message. They were looking for someone to save them from the Romans. And Jesus came to rescue them from their sins. I know a lot of people, there's always a joke about baptism and, you know, and there's a church that had, you know, bat problem and exterminators came and they pitched it. No. And they said, well, here's the solution. We'll baptize the bats and we'll see them twice a year. Okay, at Easter and Christmas. I hate that joke. And here's why. A lot of people just want to do some religious thing to validate and put some check mark. And yet they don't want to live for Jesus. So people are interested as Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. Okay, Jesus is Savior, not as Lord. Jesus, I really don't want that hell thing. Eternal life sounds great. So what do I got to do to check that box? And then I can get on to my regularly scheduled program. That's not salvation, gang. Salvation, okay, is a new life. Jesus says in having a conversation that if you're going to come to me, anyone who's going to be born again, this is a new life that God offers us. All right? And so when we're calling out and we're understanding the crowds, they were missing something because they were looking for a leader to overthrow Rome, not someone to rescue them from their sins. And think about it, the Bible foretold and Jesus fulfilled his entrance to Jerusalem specifically on a donkey's colt. Here's what else this tells me. Normally, a conquering leader would enter a city, if they were going to do conquest, on a war horse. So you had horses, then you had war horses. War horses were broader, they were stronger, and they were taller. And so a leader would come in on a war horse to conquer their foe. They were signifying, this is mine. And the king would be on even a higher steed. A king's mount would be even bigger than a war horse is. Here's the point. Jesus isn't coming in throwing his weight around. Jesus isn't just coming in saying, yo, I'm just going to, it's time to, you know, beat some people up. Jesus came on a donkey, on a colt, never been ridden. Why? He was telling something to people. In times of peace, if you do some history, in times of peace, a leader would come in on a donkey, symbolizing peace. And so Jesus was coming in symbolizing peace. Now, here's the problem. When we say peace, we think of our 20th century United States understanding of peace. And what we think is peace is the cessation of hostilities. That hostilities cease. That is not the biblical concept of peace. The biblical concept of peace, okay, from the word irene, means that the bringing together of something that was severed. So when Jesus came in to secure peace, in other words, not to bring peace, but to be peace, he was saying that there's something that's separated that I got to bring together. Now, let's all put our heads together. What was separated that Jesus came to bring back together? Man that was fallen and a God that was perfect. Jesus came. Guys, theology is important. All of these things are pointing to aspects of the character and the nature of God and of Jesus. They were wanting a king to overthrow their earthly kingdom. And yet Jesus is saying, I want to come and to make eternal peace. Peace with God. Not just to give you some more religious things to follow. I want to come and to literally secure eternity for you. Jesus comes as a humble servant. He also did this so that he could identify with common man. Donkeys were beasts of burden. One more little story that I want to tell you before we conclude our message is this. If you remember back in the Old Testament, again, the Old Testament's important. The Old Testament shares about the character of God. And people, oh, I don't like the Old Testament. It's all hellfire and brimstone. It's all, you know, judgment. The Old Testament is very, very valuable in us understanding that God is a God of covenant, that God is a God of holiness and purity, that he's very serious about his desire and his faithfulness with people who continually reject him. And so what we find here is there was a time where Jacob and his brother Esau, if you remember Jacob and Esau, they came out and Jacob was the second born, but he stole the older brother's birthright, and then he stole his blessing, and then he ran for his life. That sounds like my house. Anybody have a little brother or a little sister, and they were just, yeah. So Jacob is running for his life. He's going out. He's having all this time away from his brother, and he's getting ready to come back. And he's having this moment, this reckoning with God, where he wrestles a man until daybreak at the Jabbok. And he's sitting there at this brook, and he has this encounter. He wrestles, and he's getting ready to meet his brother. He's afraid of his brother's wrath because his brother's rightly mad at him. So what does he do? He loads up donkeys with treasure and with all of his possessions, and he sends them before as an appeasement. And God, who wants to restore us back to a relationship with him that hasn't been severed, who understands that we, like Jacob, have supplanted, we've been trickster, we haven't followed through, we haven't been integrous, and now Jesus is mounted on a donkey to be the appeasing sacrifice for the wrath of God. Was pretty awesome. If you go back in those math people, if you want to do some math, go to the book of Daniel and go find out and add up the numbers of when the fulfillment of the ministry of the Messiah would be. And it doesn't happen on Easter, and it doesn't happen on Good Friday. It happens on the triumphal entry. That's the moment. To the day. What's this say, gang? Final point. And look at the wording. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, again, what I want to tell you is, it's not that Jesus brings peace. It's that Jesus is peace. Don't miss that. Jesus doesn't want to bring peace to you. Jesus wants to be your peace. The Apostle Paul says, look, he himself is our peace. Paul was into something there. He came to be our peace with God. In fact, in Luke 19, before he entered, this is what he said prior to entering Jerusalem. He said, and worship team can come up. And when he drew near and he saw the city, go ahead and pull up Luke 19 if you would, please. Oh, it's froze. Well, then I'll read it and you'll have to trust me. Luke 19:41 says, there it is. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Remember in our verse that we read a moment ago that after Jesus came in and the whole town was in an uproar and they were calling out and they said, who is this man? And their answer was incorrect. They said, oh, it's Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Was Jesus the prophet of Nazareth? No. Jesus was the Son of God. And here's the thing. If your concept of God is wrong, you'll miss him. You'll miss who Jesus is. If your theology is incorrect, you'll miss who Jesus is. You will absolutely miss him. How do we get our theology? God has given us his word. That's where we understand the character and the nature of God. He's here for you. He wants to be your peace. He knows everything about your life, and he loves you in spite of our faults and our flaws. And he has come to reconcile us to God. I'd just like to ask you to stand. And I just want to have a time of prayer, because as we're getting ready to go through Holy Week, you know, This isn't just a time where we have a bunch of extra services. This isn't just a time where we just kind of do extra things. This is a time for us to take stock, for us to reflect and to go back and understand where we are with God. This is a time to understand that the Passover, you know, as we started the celebration of Passover. Passover is an amazing thing. The wrath of God passed over man because of the blood of the Lamb. And what that says for us today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, you can know Him. If your concept of God has been that He's angry and judgment and you think that you can manipulate Him, I want you to know that He understands that and He's here to correct our image. Would you pray with me, church? Father in heaven, I thank You and I praise You for Your great love for us today. Father, I pray for each one of us here today. I pray that Your Spirit would just move on our hearts, would move in our minds, and God, reveal to us what we truly think of You. Just as they asked the crowd, you know, who is this? And they had the wrong answer. Lord, it's easy for us to miss who You really are and try to make You into what the world says that You should be, or what our current society says You should be, or whatever seems to be advantageous at this day or this moment in time. Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your precepts have endured forever. Your love never fails. And so, Master, we come to You today. And we ask You to touch our eyes so that we can truly know You, Father. Thank You that You're not the unknown God. You're God who secured for us salvation and peace through the sacrifice of Jesus, which atones for everyone. I pray, God, any need in this room today, You are here to meet. But most importantly, our eternal need of You. We pray this in Jesus' name. If anybody has never made a decision for Jesus, and today is your day, God's moving on your heart, I just want to welcome you to come forward. I put hand sanitizer on masks. I'll be happy to pray for anybody who needs prayer today for any reason as we sing our closing song.
Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.